God loves us. Amen. I want to read to you this morning from Psalm 3. Now, this psalm, David was his son. Think about this. His son Absalom was trying to overthrow him, his king, to overtake the kingdom, and he was trying to kill David. And this is the prayer of David in those moments as he's fleeing from Absalom. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though the tens of thousands assail me on every side. Do you ever feel like tens of thousands are assailing you? You ever feel just that you're in a battle? We are in a battle, but we can go to the Lord. The Lord is our refuge. When we call out to him as David called, it worked out pretty well for David. So we can do the same thing. Call out to him when you feel that you're going through any kind of trial. I want to welcome you this morning to our service. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Let's pray as we worship. Father, we thank you that you are the safe place. That you, we can call to you and you answer us high on your mountain. There's nothing that we go through that can overcome you. Greater is you that is within us than he that is within the world. We proclaim that you are God. We proclaim that you are our Savior and our friend. We pray that you would be high and lifted up today. We pray that the name of Jesus would be high and lifted up. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to this place and you would stir us. And you would change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
Everybody stand up. So this song here was given to Mike, our drummer, by the Holy Spirit. We're going to sing it this morning. This will be good. Feel good song. Y'all ready? Here we go. tell something this morning. Something that happened to me in a church. So the kids had just gotten back from youth camp. Okay? The preacher told me, Trevor, don't bring up youth camp. We don't want them kids to get too rowdy. We don't want the kids to get too rowdy in church. So don't bring up youth camp. What did I do? Got up on the platform and I said, hey kids, how about youth camp? And they screamed, woo, they hollered. You know, I thought, well, okay, so here comes David. Here comes the Ark of the Covenant. Now, David, don't get too rowdy. I mean, I know you just recovered the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where God's going to reside. Don't get too rowdy. What did David do? Oh my goodness, he's dancing in the street. His wife didn't like it too much. She said, David, that's too rowdy. And he goes, honey, you haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to get rowdy. You know, they passed out certificates for the kids to put on the wall when they were baptized. Adults don't get that. And Carmine goes, well, the kids, they want to put it on the wall because they want to remember when they got baptized. And I said, yeah, I guess adults are just like, yeah, thanks for eternal life, God. We appreciate it. I mean, that's something we need to be excited about. We need to get rowdy. Amen? It's time to get rowdy. We got a room full of people worshiping the same God. And it would be good if that room full of people was doing the same thing in unity. You know, in the Bible it says, clap your hands, all ye people. It doesn't say, put your hands in your pockets, all ye people. I don't think you'll find that. You won't find, cross your arms, all ye people. It's not in the Bible. What it is in the Bible is, clap your hands, all ye people. Are y'all ready to praise God? God is good, amen? So let's put them together. Mike, throw us down the kick. He is ready. Keep it going. Come on. We gotta change keys, Terry. Put me in that G chord.
I have to stop for just a second. You just threw your pick and it landed in the offering plate. Worship's an offering, right?
Oh, that's good. Thank you, Brent.
I mean, you can't make that up.
We have people coming around with oxygen. If anyone needs that, just raise your hand. Woo! Good stuff. All right. Brotherton family, you guys come up. We've got Cody and Shelley and Hunter and Harper Brotherton. And Cody's been blessing us with some bass playing the last couple of months. And this family has you know, a couple of months or so have been here and come this morning to join our church. Woohoo! Yeah, yeah. So we receive y'all's baptism, your profession of faith. So we just ask you again this morning, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Amen. And will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Yes. Amen. We welcome you. We welcome you. We welcome you. All right. Good news. I think we can come greet this family. I think it's okay. Let's just do that very quickly. Don't spend a lot of time. Just if anybody's not comfortable, just give a knuckle or whatever. Let's do that real quick. Quick version. If you're in the back, just wave. All right, I'm going to invite the children to come up and join Miss Carlene up front.
Good morning, everyone. How was everybody this morning? Are y'all having a good day? All right. Well, this morning, let me kind of get everything situated. You know, Pastor Jeff kind of put everything out of order for me, so I've got to rethink everything. So this morning, I have a backpack with me. Let's see what's in my backpack. Okay, y'all ready? Let me open it up. What do you think might be in there?
The Bible.
The Bible, maybe? I got a school box. Oh, I got markers. Oh, back to what? Back to school stuff. I've got paper. Let's see. I've got pencils, colored pencils, scissors, crayons. Oh, I don't have any crayons in here, but I have glue. No? So we have lots of stuff. Do y'all need school supplies to start back to school? Yes. All right. Well, we have lots of school supplies in here, and you're all getting ready to start back to school, right? Maybe it's preschool. Maybe it's going to high school. Maybe it's going to college. Maybe it's going to be in first grade or second grade. Yeah. And be in first grade, and you're going to be in pre-K, so everybody's going to go back to school next week. Are you excited that you're going to go back to school?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to be in piano.
Yeah, are you? Okay. So, with my backpack, do you think I'm missing anything other than the crayons? I know that. Are you miss?
Yeah.
What?
Scissors.
Scissors? No, I had scissors.
Hmm?
What?
A folder.
A folder? Okay. What else?
Books.
Hmm. I think I'm missing something that maybe doesn't eraser, but I think I'm missing something that actually may not fit inside the backpack.
A Bible.
What else? God, we're missing Jesus. Was Jesus in my backpack?
No.
Well, actually, he kind of is in my backpack because I've got him hanging right there on my backpack. Huh? It's a fish, but it says Jesus on there. I promise it does say Jesus on there. Okay? Now, does Jesus fit? Jesus doesn't fit in a backpack, and this really isn't Jesus, right?
No.
But does Jesus need to go to school with us?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't need to go to school with us?
Yeah.
Yes, Jesus needs to go to school with us. But, you know, he goes with us anyway, whether we ask him to or not. He is always with us. But sometimes, maybe when you're in school, you forget. But if you have your backpack or your lunchbox or something, and you've got this little fish here that says Jesus, maybe you can remember, Jesus is with me. I can talk to him. I can pray. I can just be all that he wants me to be. Just as a reminder that Jesus is with us. Do you want Jesus to be with you? Do you want to be reminded that Jesus is with you? Yeah. Okay. And it says in Joshua 1:9, it's a Bible verse. It says, remember that I commanded you to be strong and brave. So don't be afraid. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So that verse tells us that Jesus is with us already at school. We don't have to have a reminder, but sometimes we need reminders, right?
He's already,
he's already with us. That's right. But it's good to have a reminder.
He's even here when none of us are here.
That's right. He's even here when none of us are there. That's right. So I put this one on my backpack, but I also decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have one on my key ring, too, so I can have him as just a reminder when I'm driving my car.
But we don't have that.
You don't? Well, guess what? Guess what we're going to give you? We're going to give you one this morning.
But we don't have a car.
Well, I know you don't have a car, but I have a car. So someday when you have a car, you can put it on your key ring. Okay, so today what we're going to do is we are going to pray over all the kids. We're going to pray over all ages of kids, not just these guys down here, but we are going to pray over high school, middle school, older elementary, college, and we're going to pray over the teachers and church, school staff and support staff, that anything that's going to be going back to school, daycares, Mother's Day outs, any place that you're going to be impacting the lives of kids, we're going to be praying for you this morning. So how this is going to work, we're going to have these kids stand up, and as these kids are standing up, if you'll just make your way up toward the front, then Pastor Jeff's going to come pray over all of us. And if the teachers and adults, if y'all will get towards, kind of let the kids be in the front and y'all kind of sit, stand towards the back and circle us up, that would be great. And then when we get finished, the younger kids are going to go to children's church and everybody else is going to go over. I've got several people that have these baskets with the fish, these little fish things in there. Y'all can get one of them. And grandparents, come get one for your grandkids. If you have a friend that you want to give one to a friend, give you a couple. So there's plenty for us to go around because we want to take Jesus to school with us this year. Can we do that?
Yes.
All right. All right. Y'all stand up. Everybody stand up. Okay. Y'all stand up. Okay. If everybody else, if you're going off to school, come on up. College, everybody. Yeah. There you go. Come on. Even if you're, come on, everybody. Come on. Rhonda, come on. Everybody. Come on, y'all just stay right here. I know. That's all right. You got it? Okay. Okay. All right. Lots of movements today. Okay. Is this everybody? Heather's coming. Is there anybody else? Come on up. Y'all come on up. Come on, everybody else, come on up. Yeah, come close, come close. Come on, teachers, Lisa, come on. All right. Okay, Jeff?
You ready?
I'm ready. We are ready.
So crowded.
Okay.
Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for these students and for these leaders. God, I pray blessings on them, that this would be, Father, it's been a tough, if we're honest, it's been a tough year or two here. And I just pray that this would be a blessed year, that you would bless these students and these leaders, these teachers. God, that you would, first of all, that you would protect them. We pray in the name of Jesus that there would be no one would get any kind of virus or illness. Father, that you would keep them well. That you would, Father, that they would, as Carlene just talked about, Father, that they would have Jesus with them every moment, not just these little keychains, but Father, that you would dwell with them and in them. Lord, may this just be a glorious year. May you protect them, but may the name of Jesus be high and lifted up in our schools and in our daycares and in our colleges. Father, we trust you, we love you, and we pray blessings and health and wellness on these students and on these teachers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody else, if y'all will head that direction, Susan's down there and Linda's down there. Y'all can get one. Okay, let's go. Keep going. Hey, we'll give y'all's out in upstairs. Y'all keep going. Okay.
Well, good morning again. I want to welcome our guests. Glad that you are spending your Sunday morning with us, all of you, but especially our guests. We are glad that you're here. Hope you feel loved and welcomed in this place. Hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. That's the best thing anybody can ever say to me is I came to worship and I felt God's Holy Spirit there. If you are our guest, there is a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe and says guest, and we'd love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but we'd love to get to know you better. And at the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer down at this end and have a free gift for our guests, and we'd love to meet you. So several things going on this morning. Cheryl and I, along with Richard and Kit and Arthur, were at annual conference this weekend. Billy is going to bring the word this morning. I'm excited about that. I have good news for some of you and maybe not that great of news for others. I will be back another year. So, I mean, that's official. So you can decide. I'm looking to see who's not clapping. I'm eyeing the congregation. Now, it's our honor to serve this church and to serve the Lord with you. Next week, does anybody know anything different that's happening next week? We're going to two services next week, right? 8:30 is the early service, 9:45 Sunday school, and 10:45 for our late service. Show us some grace, man. We're going to have to get up early, and we're hoping everything goes right and well. But this is new to us as well. A lot of people have stepped up to help with that. One of the things that's happening is we've been having, through the COVID year, we've been having a group Sunday school where people could spread out in the fellowship hall, and that has gone well. Many of you have liked that. We're going back next week to our individual Sunday school classes, and so I'm getting my cheat sheet out here. I'm going to call our teachers up here. I just want you to see the teachers that we have for our individual classes. The Builders class, Pete and Betty Martin, can you guys swing up here? The Soul Sisters, and I'm Karen Cohen. I didn't tell. No, y'all come. Y'all, no, that ain't going to work. I want them to see you. Come up here. Alpha Class, Cheryl Hatcher. Outreach, Tommy Foster. Foundations, Eric Bings. And Fellowship, Richard and Kit and Arthur. So these are your teachers, and I want to say something. Number one, these are all really awesome people with an awesome walk with the Lord, and I don't know if I've ever said this publicly, but I'm going to say it now. I trust them. I wouldn't have them leading if I didn't trust them. I trust their relationship with the Lord, and I trust what they're going to be teaching, so... if you are interested, we have more out. There's a board out here that talks about these Sunday school classes, and it kind of gives general ages. And some of them are, you know, kind of cater to a particular age. Doesn't mean that others couldn't come, but then other of the classes are mixed. So that board out in the foyer tells you some more information. And Billy Krim coordinates our Sunday school program. So if you have questions about where you might fit, get with him. And I also want to say, none of them will be offended if you visit two or three classes before you settle in to one that fits you. Okay? It's not going to offend them if you visit their class and you settle in somewhere else. Okay? We understand that you're looking for a nice fit for you and your family. So, okay. Y'all can go sit down. Thank you. That was brutal for some of you, I know. Jaron Longoria, Jaron, where are you at? I just want you to stand. Jaron, I just want to announce, this is Jaron's last Sunday with us. He has been interning with our youth this summer. and has been a great addition to our team. He's helped us with missions and youth camps and so forth. And Jaron's a really fine young man, and we have enjoyed having you, Jaron. But he and his wife will be moving forward. All right, I think I've got my announcements done. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you just spend a moment, just kind of centering your heart, focus your mind on Jesus and what He's done for you. I just want as you close your eyes, I just want you to kind of envision that you are standing at the foot of the cross. Just see it. And you look up and you see this Savior that allowed Himself to be beaten and whipped and nailed to this cross for you. Picture it, church. And as you're looking up at Him, He looks down at you. And you don't see anger or bitterness or resentment in His eyes. You see love. You see His grace and His mercy directed at you. Jesus, thank you. That seems like such an inadequate and hollow word, but it's all we've got. Just thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Father, I don't know why you're even mindful of us. You've got the earth spinning on your finger. You threw the stars in the sky. You're orchestrating everything, and yet you're somehow mindful of us. You became flesh, and you dwelt among us, and you died for us, and you have overcome death itself. And because you live, we can live. So grateful and so thankful and so humbled. Father, thank you for these children that and these teachers that we prayed over this morning. Thank you for going before them this school year. Thank you for sharing Jaron with us, God, and for the call upon his heart. As he goes forward, God, I pray blessings on him. I pray that you'd map out his future, God. You'd open doors for him. Father, as we go this next Sunday, as we change a few things and we go to two services, God, and it changes times that people have to get up and the amount of time people serve and the need for servants. God, I pray that even now that you'd begin to place it on hearts if people are being called by you to step up and to help in that endeavor. God, and I pray this is not about building a church, Wiley Methodist Church. This is about building your kingdom. Pray, oh God, that you would bless our efforts. And I pray that you bring fruit and that we would be able to introduce more people to you and to your love. May we be that kind of people that loves on your behalf. Thank you for the privilege of having the gospel message of Jesus Christ and the ability to share that through word and deed. Give us that kind of heart. I thank you for this church, God, the people you've assembled here, and that so many have that kind of heart. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do for us, and we pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue to worship this morning, you're invited to bring your offering. The plates at the altar rail, and also I know many of you, including our online folks, give online. Thank you for your continued financial faithfulness, church.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. Yeah. started, he wanted to get them alone, where they couldn't be distracted by anything else. You had all their attention, and they had all your attention. I remember that. I remember dating Angie and not wanting to hang around with the crowd. I wanted her all to myself. You know, Jesus feels the same way. Jesus wants you all to himself. So like Jeff said, just picture yourself at the feet of Jesus. Just you and Jesus. Sing these words.
Precious Holy Spirit, we love you. Have your way in our hearts this morning. Lord, I pray against distractions that might try to rule the day in this house. Lord, I pray against the enemy, what he might try to do to rob from us what you would have us receive this day. Holy Spirit, help us this morning. We need you, desperately need you.
speak to us. Show us ways that may be unpleasing to the Father in our hearts. And by your power, set captives free this morning. Oh, we so love you. We so need you. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we worship you. And thank you for this time. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. Hey, good worship. Good stuff. Well, how's everyone doing? Good to see everyone this morning. Good to see you online. Not see you online, but good that you're online joining us. I don't have that ability, so. You know, about 4 or 5 times a year, excuse me, I have opportunities to conduct funerals for people who have passed away. And I'm on the short list with one funeral home, and then occasionally we'll get calls to the office, someone looking for a pastor that may can conduct a service. And about a year ago, we got a call from a local local funeral home, and Jeff was tied up. He had been, I guess he did a couple of his funerals back to back. And so I said, "Won't you let me take this one?" And he obliged. And so I was up for that. And so I contacted the surviving spouse of this gentleman that passed away. He was about 69 years old. He was diagnosed with dementia 6 or 7 years before he passed away. And I just called her up and I said, "I'm so sorry for your loss, and I'm honored to be a part of the service. You know, I just want to honor this man's life, and I want to comfort the family." And she thanked me for that. And I said, "Tell me a little bit more about your husband so I'll have a better picture about maybe who he was, the kind of life he lived." And she said, "Well, he just liked to have fun. He liked to play, and he played big. And he was quite a character." And I asked her if they had a church connection. She said, "No, we didn't go to church." And so I said, "Well, do you want any music?" And she said, "Yeah, I want one song played during the service." And I said, "Okay." I said, "Do you have any favorite scriptures you would like for me to share, or any that he might have been his favorite? Did you like for me to share?" And she said, "No, we didn't read the Bible." And so from our conversation, now I don't know this for sure, but from my conversation, this person may have not have been a believer. I just want you to know that only God knows. Only God knows. That's way above my pay grade, but I approached it as if this family did not know the Lord. So I was prepping for the service, and it was a graveside service. And so, you know, we arrived at the cemetery, and there were about 70 or 75 people there. And so I prayed, and I started reading the obituary. And again, this guy was quite a character, and this is my paraphrase of part of the obituary. It said, "You might encounter this gentleman if you drive down the country lane to their house." They lived out in the outside the outskirts of Abilene. "You might encounter him working in his garden, in his work boots, his wide-brimmed hat, and his underwear." I mean, that's all the guy had on. And when I read that, I was thinking, man, I can't get that out of my head for the rest of the service. But that's the kind of guy he was. And so... So anyway, I went ahead. I went through the service. You know, I wanted to be encouraging to this family, but at the same time, I didn't want to preach him or anybody into heaven. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but I wanted to be true to the gospel. And you know, I don't know if I do that well all the time. And someday I'm going to have to stand before the Lord, and He may ask me about those times. So I want to get that right. And so I would get through the service. I pray, and then I know a song is going to be played after the service. So I say amen, and the employees of the cemetery come up, and obviously they're going to start lowering the casket in the ground. I'd never seen that before. You might have, but that was my first experience with that. So begin to lower in the ground, and then this song was played. Ben, you have that song queued up for me?
racing down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a-coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it on down the Mississippi.
Okay, that's good, Ben. I think everybody gets the idea. So to be honest, it was stinking hilarious. I mean, people were laughing. People were laughing, and I guess this might have been this man's favorite song. I don't know. There was something special about that song. And so about halfway through that song, as, again, church, I don't know. I mean, only God knows the condition of the human heart. About halfway through that song, it struck me and sobered me up that as we're laughing about the shell of this body that's being lowered in the ground at that instant, possibly, maybe, I don't know this, that the soul of that man was in a fiery hell being tormented. A place where Jesus says there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. A place that it's so horrible we can't even imagine it on this side of eternity. And possibly, I don't know, but that would go on perhaps for that soul of that man for eternity with no way out. And I wasn't laughing anymore. You know, I'm not a hellfire brimstone kind of guy. I'm really not. I grew up under that teaching, and to be honest, it's really offensive to me. But sometimes I think we need to be reminded of the reality of not choosing Christ on this side of eternity. I love you, by the way. The title of the sermon this morning, I had a lot to say, but I'm going to kind of cut it short. The title of this sermon is, You Must Be Born Again. And if you remember the conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus in the third chapter of John, Nicodemus came to him at nighttime under the cover of darkness. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was one of the experts in the traditions of the Jewish people, not like the law that was given by Moses. Those were scribes and teachers and lawyers, but they were more versed in the traditions of the Jewish people. And so under the cover of darkness, he comes to Jesus and he says, you know, we know that you're from God because no one can do the things you do if they're not from God. And so you would think Jesus would enter into some kind of dialogue with Nicodemus about that, but he chose not to. He said, I'll tell you the truth, you must be born again. And so it kind of threw Nicodemus for a loop. He said, well, you know, how does that happen? Which I can understand that. You know, I'm old. How can I enter my mother's womb again and be born again? How can that even happen? And Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. And I'll tell you the truth, you must be born again by the Spirit of God. Every one of us in here have had a fleshly birth, every one of us. Water gives birth to water. Spirit gives birth to spirit. Another comment that Jesus made there. All of us had this watery birth. And what Jesus wants us to do is to be born again by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share my story, my spiritual journey. And I know everybody's is not the same. You know, I came from a background that you walked an aisle and you said the sinner's prayer. That was the model. And that's the only way you could do it. Walk an aisle, say the sinner's prayer. But I've come to appreciate, you know, Jesus touching people in other ways. You know, there's three places in Scripture where people had an encounter with Christ that were really unique. There was a meal that Jesus was invited to by the religious leaders. And a woman comes in who is, as the Scripture says, is a sinner. She brings some perfume in with her. She pours it on his feet. She begins to weep. You may remember the story. And she begins to wipe his feet with her hair, wiping the perfume and wiping his feet with her tears. And Jesus said something interesting to her. He said, your faith has saved you. you know, he didn't seem to need to do anything else but just pronounce, I guess you're born again. Your faith has saved you. The woman that was caught in adultery, you might remember that story that Jesus said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone, and everybody drops their rocks. And Jesus said, you know, where are your accusers? Where are those who condemn you? And she said, there are none. And Jesus said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And this one really, really trips me up. You remember the story about the man who was lame. He could not walk, and he had four friends, and his four friends took this man to a house Jesus was at. They couldn't get inside, and so they get up on the roof, they remove part of the roof, and they lower the man down in front of Jesus. They wanted him to have an encounter with Jesus. This one just really just blows my mind. It's in Mark chapter 2, 1 through 12. Go read it. Jesus looks up, and it says, because of the faith of the four men, then he looked at that man and said, your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't understand that. The point I'm trying to make is there's not a pattern. There's not really a model. You know, Jesus can touch anybody, anywhere that he wants to, any way that he wants to. I'm just grateful that he touches us. Amen? Amen. Well, my father passed away when I was 8 or 9 years old. In 1966, he had colon cancer, and in the 60s, that was basically a death sentence. And so my mom raised me and my two brothers. I've mentioned them before, James and John, strong biblical names. I'm not quite sure what happened. I'm the middle child. Any middle children in here? Yeah, you know my pain, right? So James and John and I, and she took us to church almost every Sunday. And the church for us was three houses down and across the street, a neighborhood church. And that's what a lot of people did in that day. They just went to the neighborhood church, and now we drive all over the place going to church. Nothing wrong with that. And so I was in church almost every Sunday, and there was always an invitation at the end of the sermon. And this is what I heard, church. This is what I heard. Come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. Come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. And I heard that once. I heard that 1,000 times. And so my older brother James, he got born again when he was 13 years old. And it was real for him. And he ran from the Lord for a lot of years, did a lot of things he wasn't too proud of. God caught up with him. And when he was 35 and rededicated his life, and he told me, he said, Billy, all those years was my running. I knew I was running from the Lord. I knew that he had touched my heart. I knew he had changed my life. Well, my older brother got a lot of attention for that. And so I guess maybe I was longing for that. I didn't get affirmation from my father about some things I needed from him. You know, did I have what it took to be a man? Did he love me? Did he not love me? Did he even like me? He was a good man, a good provider, but he was like a lot of fathers from that era. They just didn't know how to express themselves emotionally. And so I guess I was needing attention, and I thought, you know what, I don't think I'll get saved. And so I started talking to my mom about that. And so she invited the preacher over one day, and one evening, and so we were talking, and he talked about salvation through Christ, and he said, do you want to get born again? And I said, yes, I do. So he led me through the sinner's prayer, and I went through that. And when we were through, he said, do you feel any different? And I didn't. But I told him I did. Now he said, are you sure? I said, yes, sir. And I knew I was just lying through my teeth when I told him that. Because, see, I knew nothing really happened inside of me. And I didn't know what I was even supposed to feel. You know, when the Spirit of God comes into a person, they've got to feel something. There's got to be some kind of change that takes place when that happens. So anyway, I went to church. I made it official. I was baptized, knowing nothing happened. And then I lived out life in the 70s. Boy, that was a blurry, fuzzy decade for me. I can't remember much about what. Yeah, right? I didn't know if I really graduated from high school or not, but I saw a 50-year commemoration poster from Abilene High School. Had every graduate on that poster from, I don't know, 1925 to 1975. And I went up there to look at my name, see if it was on the year 1975. Surely it was, and so it kind of surprised me. But so I was a mess. You know, I started dating Carlene in 1974. We got married in 1979. I was a mess. I was a horrible, horrible person. I treated her horribly. I don't know why she stayed with me, to be honest. I went to church with her some, a church she grew up in, and I heard the same invitation: come to Jesus so you don't go to hell. Come to him so you don't go to hell. And so in 1981, a Sunday morning, I don't remember which particular day it was, but it was a Sunday morning, and that church was starting a revival that Sunday morning. And there was a young pastor named Charlie Carroll, young preacher, young evangelist that, man, I don't know, boy, the fire of God was on that man to set captives free. And so he began sharing the gospel, and he did mention that part. You know, if you reject Jesus, you're going to spend an eternity separated from him in a place that's not a good place to be. But then what I did hear also was, come to him so you'd have abundant life. Come to him so you can be set free of your addictions. And man, that everything changed for me. I wanted that kind of Jesus. And so I remember standing up at the pew in this church, and boy, I had a death grip on the pew in front of me. And when the invitation was offered, I just found myself at the front of the altar, and I was on my knees weeping. And everything inside of me, the sinful man, the miserable wretch I was, it was just like, it was just laid bare, and I could just see the person that I was before the Lord. And I knew that I had offended a holy God. And you know, I don't know what I was expecting. It's almost, I think I was expecting his wrath because that's what I deserved. And I didn't say this, but God, don't kill me. Don't kill me in front of all these people. But I didn't receive his wrath. I received grace and love and mercy at the altar that morning. And church, I haven't been the same since that day. Well, Carlene grew up in that church. She made a profession of faith at age 12. She served in Sunday school with her parents are awesome, by the way, with her dad and her mom both. Her dad taught fourth and fifth grade kids for 40 years. What a legacy. I miss her parents. Her mom taught first and second grade for 30-something years until her health wouldn't allow her to do that anymore. And so she grew up in that church. She led Vacation Bible Schools. And in 1993, at the age of 35, she gave her heart to Jesus. So I'm thinking, how does that happen? How does that happen? Is it possible that we can go to church all our lives and not have a relationship with Christ? Is that possible? And you know, I'm not against leading people through the sinner's prayer. I was led through that. Carlene was led through that. But if that's all it takes, just going through the sinner's prayer, why didn't it work for me at age 11 or 12? And why didn't it work for Carlene at that same age? Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. And Jesus says we must be born again. I want to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up. Church, I love you, but more than that, Jesus loves you. And you know, I don't have any expectations this morning. I really don't. I feel like maybe God gave me a number of people who might need to respond, not necessarily this morning, but in general, maybe over a period of time, but I don't have any expectations this morning. I think, well, I know, because Romans 8 tells us that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if we're children of God, then we're heirs, we're co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ. I think we can know we're born again. And if you have never had that assurance, I think I would investigate that. I think I would pray through that. And it's my desire this morning that as we walk out of this place, either we have that assurance that Jesus Christ is our Lord, we have that assurance that we've been born again by the Spirit. And if that's not the case, it's my desire that today is the day of salvation for somebody, maybe several somebodies. I'm going to ask Jeff to come up. Jeff, do you mind coming up and position yourself up here? I'm also going to be up front. In church, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you're not born again by the Spirit of God, I'm going to encourage you to make that right today. And again, I don't have any expectations. Let's just honor the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for this time. And Lord, I know this may be kind of heavy this morning. And Lord, I just pray you have your way. Lord, I just thank you for abundant life. I thank you for eternal life. I thank you for freedom from the things that keep us from being all that you have created us to be, things that, Jesus, you have saved us to be. And Lord, I pray against the enemy right now that may be trying to talk somebody out of a decision that they might know they need to make. Oh Lord, we love you, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus, that you hung on that old rugged cross for us. So have your way. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and worship the Lord. Respond if you feel you need to.
Wanna hear far away, stood in old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross with a dearest and best. that last verse been. To the old rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and grief rose to let me bear. Here's the promise.
Can we do that this morning? Yeah, if you're in this room or you're watching online, or maybe you might catch this sometime in the future, if you're not sure about that decision, would you please reach out to our pastor? He would love to walk you through some steps so that you can know that you know that you know. Church, have a blessed day, a wonderful day, and I love you.
Love you too, Billy.
All right, thank you. All right, let's do this. Repeat after me. I love you. No, hang on. No, hang on. That's wrong. Repeat after me. I love Billy Krim. All right. I love you too. Have a good day, church.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that He loves you. And if you want to make Him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to first of all congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.